It's Monday, and the place to watch the football game is Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch.
Lamar Jackson was a better quarterback than Tom Brady was on the field yesterday.
Has to be hard if you want to hear that noise.
Yeah, let's see what you got.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, kickoff in a little over an hour. Cowboys and Giants. It's Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Four. Number five.
Well, clearly Ari was irked by the story, or we've rubbed off on him. You see this one?
I did.
Hockey fans wish an 11-year-old happy birthday after no one came to his party. This sounds really familiar. We've got another one of these cases. Let's see. A Jason Foster tweeted out, my son Cade had his 11th birthday party last night. None of his invited friends came. That hurt. I'm asking my Twitter friends to show him some love today. If you have a minute, please send him a birthday wish. This is not the most kind show in terms of buying the schmaltzy topics. And we had one of these, I think it was last June. May have been a year ago, even further back. Where a kid in Phoenix was at, I think it was like Peter Piper Pizza. The parents take a picture of this long table. Pizza's all over the table. The kid just sitting there all sad. None of the 32 people they invited, kids, showed up. We thought it was a scam the first time around. Are we still doing this?
You guys are so cynical. So cynical.
Because there's so much to delve into. How many kids have their birthday parties completely no-showed?
I don't know how many kids.
Never heard of this before.
I have not heard of it either. But
and then who? And like on social media, the parents are like, let's blow this up.
But like,
let's fix it by shaming the child some more.
That's my real problem. My real problem is that no matter who shows up, no matter what athlete or celebrity shows up to your party, that kid still has to walk back into school the next day and be like, you're the loser. Nobody showed up to your party. Like, that's the real issue here. I don't care who shows up for the one day. What, they showed up because they heard that the kid had a horrible day? Great, good on them. But why are you putting this online in the first place? Look, just every time you think about posting something on social media, please just take the 1 second before you hit send and think, Do I need to? Because I can't tell you how many times I've thought, not really, and deleted it after I typed it out.
So many cases of clout chasing in your case? Did you get ashamed quickly?
I think I've done it before.
So many cases of virtue signaling, right, Ari? That's your favorite new term?
Yeah, Ari's picking up big language these days.
He's real big on that, because last week he got a response from Seth Davis, the college basketball guy from CBS, because we said he was signaling, he was doing a little signaling of his own, a little virtue signaling, and Seth Davis responded. He's like, what's that? No answer. Nothing. All right, next up.
Number four.
I seemed to get a couple of people mad yesterday. I was having fun in the afternoon. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, now you're going to tell people what you were doing driving around listening to the Jets game, right?
Well, here's the thing. Popeye's chicken and this sandwich have taken off on social media. So much so that yesterday, Deshaun Watson credited the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwiches that he ate this week. Wait, where'd he get them? Wait a second. As a key to helping his eye heal. Did he have some sort of inside connection? He got him early. Also, Stephon Diggs, did you see this one? The cleats had some Popeye's chicken sandwich cleats on. Didn't have a good day, and they lost, but he was doing the shout-out. I actually drove around yesterday because, on my Popeye's app, we all have that, right, on the phone? No?
Every one of us, without question. Thank you, Popeye's.
They gave me the heads up that Sunday the sandwich is back. So I was like, all right, it was crazy the last time around. Von Tobel last week on Wednesday was like, it's not going to be the same this time. I'm like, okay. So I started my trip. It was a bit circuitous on the way home, and I wound up hitting five different Popeyes, and it was pretty insane. One had shut down, taking the orders in probably about 2 hours after they'd opened, and I hit another spot. It was 2 hours. Someone walking out said it took them 2 hours to get the sandwich. The drive-through lines were at least 10 to 15 cars deep, and they were not moving. It's back, baby. It's back. But I had a couple of tweeters who were like, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? I'm like, who cares?
You really need to be angry to go on social media and ask someone why they have a problem going and looking for a chicken sandwich. What's the big damn deal? All right, so, but you've got this copied in here. I got to make sure we get to it because I have a real problem with what's being said here. From our man Rudy, we hear from Rudy all the time.
Listener Rudy had a problem.
Listener Rudy had a real problem. He said he went to the one at Windmill in Las Vegas Boulevard. He can only get three sandwiches. The lady in front of him ordered five sandwich combos, and he didn't get the chicken. Are you telling me that Popeyes, knowing the demand for what's out there, allowed someone to walk in and get five of these things? What are you doing, Popeyes? You made one person happy with five sandwiches, and you pissed off everybody behind them in line. That's insane. There needs to be rationing. There needs to be order. There needs to be a system to these things. I'm not here for all of Adam Hill's rules to everything and all the ways around them.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, if you tell everybody that the sandwich is gone and they have an opportunity in your app, hey, it's back. Come get the sandwich. And I watch the person in front of me order five sandwiches. First of all, I might just stick a foot out and trip them and see if they drop a bag. But secondly, I'm pissed at Popeyes.
I will say that they had, what, about 8 weeks to get themselves together? Well, first of all, they have to have the sandwich. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, it might
be
number one.
So I guess they needed the 8 weeks to make sure they have enough stock, enough volume of the chicken sandwiches. They could have put together a little better system to make sure things are working. Now, I was asked multiple times if I actually got the sandwich. I did.
And?
When, what? What do you want to know? Where did I get it? What was the process like? How was it?
I think the people deserve to know, for all your effort, was it worth your effort driving all over town to get this chicken sandwich?
It was good. It was very good.
That's not an answer.
No, it was really good. It was yes, it was worth it. It was better than the other chicken joints. Sorry. I know people have, you know, are devotees to certain spots. It was better. The bun was better. Little butter on there is nice. The breading is excellent. Quality of the chicken is good. You just have to know where to go. And I hit a spot. I'm not saying where I got mine, because that's for me to know and for you to find out. Sorry. Is that mean? Should I be revealing the spot where you can actually get them quickly?
No, you absolutely protect that. And also, I got mine.
I'll just so you know, yeah. I started a stopwatch as I stepped out of the car because I was so excited. I pulled up to one location. And I'm like, ooh, there's no one here. And I did have someone in front of me order. I think two guys ordered three apiece, and then, like, they're doing combos. And one guy got, like, two apple pies. I really wanted to scream out, like, come on! It's National Chicken Sandwich Day! They're bringing this thing back! Don't order apple pies! Get out of the way! But I actually ordered four.
Here's the thing.
You could see this place had a system, and they were going rapid fire. There were no issues.
The issue is that nobody... How many of those did you eat?
I've had one so far. Yeah.
So the concept of fast food has not really hit you yet. Saving three chicken sandwiches that are meant to be consumed immediately.
You're right, which I probably cheated myself out of the real experience. I'll do it again. But, I'm a really kind-hearted guy. So I got home with the sandwiches. I went out to watch football. The SO was not at home when I came home with the sandwiches. I wanted her to actually try the sandwich. It's very giving of me. I did not touch the sandwich until she got some of it, too.
So wait a minute. The two of you shared one of the four sandwiches.
For lunch today, we just split it in half, and I was like, here's
for lunch today?
Yes.
Wait a second. You didn't eat any of the chicken when you ordered it yesterday. You waited basically 24 hours to eat a fast food chicken sandwich and pass judgment on whether the national craze is worth it. Ah! Oh, my God. I'm hurting right now inside. I'm hurting inside. You have defeated the whole concept of this.
I'll go get some more tonight, and I'll eat them right on the spot.
Yeah, at your secret Popeyes.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to give it out. One of the Popeyes I went to, in the midst of all this, I did sell someone in line. I was like, hey, right down the way. You can get it in like 10 minutes. Don't wait in this line. But I only told one person.
So
I'm not giving this up to the world.
So here's my question. Are you now willing to sell the rest of those three chicken sandwiches to anybody who didn't get it yesterday?
Well, now they're old. I would never do that.
They're old. You ate it 24 hours later. Can Rudy get one of your chicken sandwiches?
You know what?
Rudy had someone go in front and order five of them. Can Rudy get one of your chicken sandwiches?
I'll DM Rudy the location so he can get some fresh ones himself.
That's small consolation.
What are you talking about? It's very giving of me.
Yeah, apparently.
Giving with the girlfriend, giving with some select listeners. What's a problem?
Good to know the SO and select listeners are on the same plane.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point. All right, next up.
Number three.
Kind of blew that at the end there, didn't I? A massive win for the Chiefs yesterday because this division is tightening up. Chargers with a big victory to get to 4-5. Raiders are now 4-4. That was a tough Vikings team they were going against. We'll get into whether the Vikes blew it or not. Certainly, I know a lot of people out there, especially the younger sports radio people, hate the word clutch, but for a kicker to make two big field goals in the final 4 minutes, that was pretty freaking clutch, and some massive plays throughout the game by the Chiefs. Love hearing this guy. This is Mitch Holthus, who's on the Chiefs Radio Network. This was a 91-yard run that gave the Chiefs the lead in the middle of the game.
And off, cuts it back right across the 15, 20, 25, 30. Damian Williams at the 40. He's at midfield. It's a race. He's at the 30, 25, 20. It's a race. He will win an 85-yard touchdown run against this vaunted Viking rush defense.
Can I tell you, that was the biggest problem. And that was the third quarter run to make it 16, or check that, 17-16. That was the biggest problem for the Chiefs. Check that. The Vikings in this game, with Matt Moore at quarterback, they gave up way, and that's a run, but they gave up way too many chunk plays for a defense as good as they are. Tyreek Hill killed them. Kelce had a couple of big catches. And then down the stretch, Chiefs drive. It stalls badly. I can't stand NFL coaches settling for 50-yarders, but that's what Andy Reid did. And here's both of the field goals as they hit a 54-yarder to tie it. Vikes do nothing, a three and out. Great job by the Chiefs defense. Here's both field goals, the game tying and the game winning.
Colquitt, placement down, Butker's kick, trying to line it up. Has he got enough? Does he have enough? He's got enough! It is over the crossbar, and the Chiefs tie the game at 23. Placement is down, Butker's kick is up, and the kick is good! He got it! Butker got it! And the Chiefs have won the game in regulation! Harrison Butker, game winner, Kansas City, and 6-3, never felt so good.
He's right. Right, Matt Moore, 1,000-year-old who wasn't with the team until just before the season, and they're surviving without Mahomes.
I've been saying it all along, Patrick Mahomes, system quarterback. Obviously, Andy Reid's done a fantastic job scheming this thing up, and the return of Tyreek Hill has to be the story here, because now look at what happens to the defense. You said they gave up too many chunk plays, and the Vikings did. You have to defend the line of scrimmage against the run, because they still can put the ball on the ground. You have to defend intermediate against Travis Kelce, who is the best tight end in the league right now. And you have to defend deep. Tyreek Hill had a 40-yard touchdown pass right over the top. And Matt Moore, all he had to do was lay it out there. It was a good pass for Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill can run past any DB in the league right now. So Andy Reid, as much as we love to bang on him for clock management,
yep,
and for the punt last week, all accurate, he can scheme up a game.
He also, Tyreek Hill also made an amazing play. And it's one of those little plays, but it makes such a difference. As they were going for that winning field goal, I think they had the ball at, like, the 39-yard line. And, man, Moore threw about a 7-yard pass to Tyreek Hill in between two defenders, and somehow Tyreek Hill got it to the 26. And then all of a sudden you're kicking, you know, 44-yarder. And the Vikes did have a chance in between the two field goals. They got the ball back with 2.5 minutes, three and out. And they barely got any time off the clock. I'm not sure what they should have done in that situation. Do you play for overtime? Do you try to just milk the clock? Because Dalvin Cook didn't – I think Dalvin Cook might have gotten a pass, but there was a bad sack, also a pass batted down. Like, do we – if you're the Vikings coaching staff, do you just play for overtime because you don't trust Kirk Cousins to drive you down the field for a game-winning field goal?
Kirk Cousins, who the last 3 weeks had been talked about as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, had been one of the highest-graded passers in all of the league,
right,
until we, shocker, took him outdoors again, and then he completed only 50% of his passes in Kansas City yesterday. Yeah, that Kirk Cousins. Look, the new school thinking is that possession is way more important than field position, and you do everything you have to do to hold on to the ball. You do everything you have to do to keep the ball and try to never have to hand it back in that situation. So, yeah, came back to bite him.
Number two.
Number two.
Browns were abysmal yesterday. I thought the Broncos would win or at least cover. I did not have high expectations for the Browns, but the Browns should have won that game. How many freaking 27 to 33-yard field goals can you kick? They couldn't finish any drives. They had another drive stall late in the third when they were down 17-12 because they couldn't get a freaking yard on a quarterback sneak. I thought the Mark, the spots sucked. But it was just a disaster. You're losing to Brandon Allen with his 8.5-inch hands, ready to fumble at any moment. That is a terrible loss. And any of that hope, like, hey, they can still come back from this tough start because look at how easy the schedule is, that's gone bye-bye. And then just the buffoonery from Kitchens during the game. Baker Mayfield is shaving like 9 times during the game before. I mean, like, and then who's the guy who went nuts on Twitter and just got cut?
Whitehead. Yeah, I mean, this was amazing. Essentially responding.
What do you do, bitch about the Browns or go after fans?
So someone who takes part in one of the Browns radio programs said something that his tackling was awful. And he responded by basically saying, come at me, bro, in a lot worse words than that. And to the Browns' credit, they dumped him immediately. Bringing up the question I have for you, who's the adult in the room in Cleveland right now? Because it doesn't seem like there is a single adult in that organization at the moment, at least not at the football operations level. Because it sure as hell not Freddie Kitchens, who, I mean, if anyone is deserving of the Willie Taggart treatment, it is Freddie Kitchens right here and now. What was Hugh Jackson's record when he got canned last year? 2-5-1? What's the Browns' record right now? 2-6? And Freddie Kitchens has been a tenth of the professional that Hugh Jackson was throughout that situation. So if the thought was we did this for Kitchens to do it for Baker Mayfield's sake, what exactly has Baker Mayfield put out there this year that says that he needs Freddie Kitchens around any longer than he has been?
Top story.
Number one.
Okay, Patriots game. Bad game? Or did the Ravens expose some flaws that really could be exposed here the next 5 games as the schedule gets tougher, right? We know how easy the schedule was early on. What do you think? Just a bad performance by the Patriots?
Here are some things that happened last night that never happened. Bill Belichick made a horrendous analytical decision. That's one. Kicking that field goal at the end of the first half was an awful, awful choice. A 19-yard field goal that would have tied the game going into halftime. The second thing that never happens is that Julian Edelman vomited the football on what turned into a scoop and score. The Patriots were about to go take control of that game. The momentum was all on their side. They gave it away on that play. And then Tom Brady went into full Jameis Winston mode with them driving down the field and threw a moon ball heave that turned into a long punt and a turnover. So I don't think those things repeat themselves. I think saying that the Patriots are on their way out is an overreaction.
Let's go through some of the highlights. And we pulled all of these from the Patriots Radio Network because we love playing the Pats with Bob Sochi and especially Scott Zolak. Zolak's a super fan, super arrogant. Boy, they had a different sound yesterday. Here was L-Jax, Lamar Jackson, taking it in early.
To the left wing. Edwards behind Jackson, who fakes it and runs it to the left. Jackson is going to trot into the end zone. Showboating with a high step for a Baltimore touchdown.
Jerome Fall right there. Freebie. A little showboat right there. Keep that in your memoir. Just remember that. Next time you get a shot at him, take the shot.
Ooh! How about that? Boy, between the broadcast team and specifically Zolak and the fans, is there a bigger group of sore losers? You never lose, and they act like babies? Take the shot? Because Lamar Jackson high-stepped into the end zone? Okay. Well, believe me, they should send that radio call to, and it's not the Patriots who said it, but send that radio call to Harbaugh and go, okay, this is the way at least some people around the Patriots operate. That was from the Patriots radio network. This is where it got real ugly at the end of the first. At this point, it's now 17-0 with Gus Bus taking it in.
Hands to Edwards, cuts it to the left. He's gone to the 5 to the end zone. Hopping in for another Baltimore score.
No boogeyman tonight. Oh, man, just untouched. A little scoot to the backside. This might get ugly because you have no answer right now.
It is ugly.
I thought the TV team at this point, Michaels and Collinsworth, like went way overboard. They're like, this one's over. It's going to get ugly. It's one thing for, you know, the homers to act like babies when it's 17-0. And I'm sure as you were watching, you're like, it's not over. It's not. It was very much a game, and the Patriots were looking like they were in pretty decent shape. You mentioned the Edelman play. Here it is with Humphreys with the scoop and score.
He throws it out to Edelman. Ducks under a defender. Got away from one, but then as he hit the deck, he lost it. The ball scooped up by Humphrey, who's running down the right side, holding the ball out in his right hand, trotting to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and then stopping to step across the goal line. His second scoop and score in as many weeks.
That was pretty cocky. That one will be kept in the memoirs. I was waiting for Zolak to do it again, but our vast sound department couldn't find Zolak saying that. And then here is the play that really broke him. And you can hear the depression in the voices of the Patriots radio team. What was Tom Brady doing as he just lobs it down the field? Earl Thomas is like, all right.
He throws deep down the middle. Earl Thomas is waiting on it. He's going to have an interception as he catches and lands at the 8. And he runs back across the 15, 20, 25, 30. Ooh. And Thomas is clipped down by Shaq Mason. Brady simply launched one down the middle of the field. And Thomas, as if fielding a punt.
Just nodding your head. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest game for the Patriots, so I'm sure they'll get it together here, but this was going to be the test, and I know there are Patriots fans who were all pissed off through the first 8 weeks when people kept saying, hey, the schedule's not that easy. Those were facts. Now this is the time that you need to cement the top of the AFC race, and I don't know if it's going to be that easy. We'll continue on this, get into the Patriots schedule. Also, I want to talk about Raiders goals here the next 4 weeks, and we got a baseball note coming up. The Mets did the Mets again. Unbelievable how predictable this team is.
The Big Five at 4. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers.
Jets win an offensive zone draw. Malcolm Subban keeps the game alive for the Knights. Scheifele looked to have the game won there. Back in, Connor is in, he shoots and scores. Kyle Connor cleans up where Scheifele couldn't finish. Connor wins it for the Jets in overtime. Final score, Winnipeg 4, Vegas 3.
You gotta hang now with Cofield and Company at Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch.
Dan Duva, Golden Knights Radio Network. That was not a great 4-day set there. A couple of losses in overtime. The Canadiens game, very damaging. Had a lead in that one. And now VGK hits the road, so got to get back together away from the fortress. Tomorrow at the Blue Jackets, Thursday in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. We'll get back to the Patriots, also back to the Raiders and the upcoming schedule, and especially on the Patriots, what that Ravens loss means, looking at what's on the horizon. A couple of baseball notes to get into. This is going to be a crazy offseason, especially with starting pitching. Clear, Gerrit Cole is looking elsewhere after putting on his Boris hat right after World Series Game 7. Strasburg will be on the market, although I think today he was offered a qualifying offer, which is
it doesn't really mean
stupid.
Anything.
I think
the long
there's
run.
Been
yeah.
80 players since 2015 have been offered, made the qualifying offer. 5 have accepted, so it's just semantics. So Strasburg opts out of his deal. He had 4 years and $100 million left on his deal. That's amazing.
Watch him blow that out of the water this winter.
Well, because just between all of the superpowers in baseball, they should all be bidding each other up. The Dodgers and Angels should just try to either, if you're not going to get them, you got to screw over the other team. Right? Both teams have to go for Strasburg. And to me, both teams have to go for Gerrit Cole. So who knows where this number is going to wind up. And I will guarantee you right now, well, should I do this? Will we have collusion again this year? Allegedly. Or are we going to wait on Strasburg and Gerrit Cole until like mid-February? That can't happen again, right?
It's been 2 years in a row that we've waited deep into spring training for major free agents to sign.
Don't forget, Harper and Machado signed so freaking late.
And let's not just say those big free agents. Then let's think about a guy like Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell, who signed a month plus into the season. I mean, in June, these guys were signing. Yeah. Don't think that in general is going to get better.
We know the Mets won't be in the running for any of those pitchers. Well, they have a good pitching staff, but the Mets are the Mets. How about this tweet from Joel Sherman? So if you didn't see it, Philly gets Joe Girardi. The Mets hire Carlos Beltran with zero experience. Listen, he may turn out to be a great manager, but Joe Girardi is a proven guy. Did you read this quote from Van Wagenen? I mean, I think it's pretty easy to see what he's saying here. Well, it's not exactly a quote, but according to this writer, Van Wagenen mentioned on why they didn't look at Girardi, mentioned being able to, quote, exhale when going into the manager office rather than inhale in weariness, said of Beltran that he has, quote, an appetite to collaborate. That's a pretty good rip job on Joe Girardi.
It's a Joe Girardi description that fits Joe Girardi to a T, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong about that? Joe Girardi spent his first year as Yankees manager out and out lying to media about injuries and spent the rest of his time. I mean, he was like Zales and Jared combined with the amount of diamonds that you get out of that guy with as tight as he was. And then you look at the collaborative piece. Joe Girardi wanted to do things his way a lot of the time, and he has enough old school in him that he was not about to be the guy to be in there and be controlled by the front office. And to that end, I think Joe Girardi is right. He's had enough success that he doesn't need to be the guy who's a puppet for the front office. But as for
especially that front office, we're talking about a guy who's just be, I mean, he's the boss, but he's just become a GM after being an agent. Like, sorry, an experienced manager is not going to bow at your feet, bro. So this is what he wants. I mean, he wants someone who will have control over. I don't know if that means the Mets win. I don't know if that means that Beltran is going to be a big success. We're about 35 minutes. Check that. Yeah, about 35 minutes from kickoff with the Giants and the Cowboys. I want to go over their Raiders schedule. I'm looking at this schedule coming up, and I'm liking 7-4.
Free parking and food specials starting at $4. Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch is the spot for Monday Night Football. It's Monday, and the place to watch the football game is Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
I'm sorry, man. I know we're giving, like, a ton of promotion. I don't know if it's good promotion to Popeyes and this chicken sandwich. We're just getting feedback from what's going on today. Yesterday, they started selling them again at 10 a.m. I hit, like, six locations. Some had just closed down in terms of taking any orders on the sandwiches. Other places, it was just chaos. I was just telling you, I walked into one location yesterday, and the cashier's just like, everyone calm down. Like, it was just a massive line. We just had a friend tell us at one of the locations that they ran out, and he also witnessed, I guess, some lady who's up there with three kids, and they have a five sandwich limit, and all three kids got five sandwiches, so did she. So, come on, let's be responsible. Although, you know what, I did hit a place yesterday and got four myself. So,
you did not bring three random children with you and buy another 15, though?
Yeah. No, I did not. I should have brought random kids, right? See, now, this may be the first valid point I've heard in my 49 years about having kids.
Not for the tax deduction. For the chicken sandwiches.
Chicken sandwiches.
Gotcha.
You can beat the system. You can beat the system.
Oh, that's some Adam Hill stuff there.
All right, Raiders. I don't think you blinked when I said Raiders 7-4. I'm not saying, hey, it's a flop if you don't go 7-4, but look at the schedule. I mean, it's minimum 6-5, or people should be really pissed off. They can beat the Chargers on Thursday at home. They play the Bengals and at the Jets. Those are two wins. You know, the funny thing is, you look at the rest of the schedule over the next six. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but 5-1 is realistic. Like, they're going to lose at the Chiefs on the road. I think they'll compete, but they're going to lose at the Chiefs on the road. They got Titans and Jaguars home after that. I don't know where the Titans are going to be at quarterback. Did the Jaguars make you real confident by that London performance? I thought they were the home team that's used to going to London. They sucked.
How would you be talking about this Oakland team right now if Detroit could run a competent play at the end of the game? Because if Detroit ties that game and we go to overtime and all of a sudden it's 3-5, then we're not watching John Gruden run around like a Chucky doll in the black hole and get his head padded for being a good boy for having one of his players call a timeout with 8 seconds to go when the other team was trying to get up to the line. Don't tell me about Carl Joseph didn't know what the call was. Don't tell me about that your defense couldn't pull it together. Your defense is awful. Your defense is the reason that you cannot be talking about the playoffs with all seriousness right now. This defense has allowed more points than any team other than five in the NFL that have played eight games. They have the worst point differential in the AFC West. This is, at best, an 8-8 team because of the defense. I think John Gruden has put together a competent offense.
At best? With this schedule? Really? Chargers, Broncos to close? I mean, they've got
Broncos defense is legit.
They've got one game left on the schedule where you're like, they're not going to win that at the Chiefs.
Oh, no, I don't think it's a matter if they can't.
Everything else is attainable.
I don't think it's a matter if they can't, but let's look at what they've done thus far. Does that Bears win still look good to you? That Bears win doesn't look particularly good to me at this point. So the only win that you can look at might be the only outlier of the entire NFL season, other than the Jets beating the Cowboys. Sorry, Steve. That win at Indianapolis continues to be a giant outlier for this team, another game in which they had a fluky score. Look, I'm not saying the Raiders are bad. The Raiders are just fine. The Raiders are a competitive team, which I think is a lot better than a lot of people expected at the beginning of this year. But to look at it and say, 7-4, I'm not so sure you could give them this Chargers game, and I'm not saying anything on the road is a gimme for any team in the NFL at this point.
There were a couple of folks yesterday seemingly thumping their chest about the victory over the Lions, and the Raiders now sitting at 4-4. One was Gil Brandt, Hall of Famer, longtime personnel guy with the Cowboys, longtime media guy. He said, curious what Raiders fans think about the Khalil Mack trade now. Is it definitely a win because of how Josh Jacobs has turned out, or could you look at it and say, to your point, the defense ain't very good, they don't really have much of a pass rush, and you can get a running back anywhere?
If you're going to draft in 2019 a running back in the first round, he damn well better be Josh Jacobs, because there is no value to drafting a running back if he's not going to be that. And what you have to pay him to draft him in the first round at that point already puts you behind the eight ball with filling out the rest of your roster. That's why the Giants with Saquon Barkley made such a massive mistake, because no matter how good he is, you have to pay him at a level that is going to cripple you at more important positions. So, no, the Raiders didn't win the Khalil Mack trade. Are you kidding me? Because Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy couldn't find the end zone with a GPS? Come on. Khalil Mack is still Khalil Mack and has been performing like Khalil Mack. How has Cleveland Farrell been? Cleveland Farrell might be the biggest bust in the NFL this year. He's been horrendous. He hasn't even looked like a middle-of-the-first-round talent. Cleveland Farrell has been awful. So don't tell me that the Raiders won that trade. Gil Brandt can take that take right back where it came from.
Raiders over-under was, what, 6 wins for the season win total? Raiders reporter, JT the Brick, said after the 4-4 start, oh, so now we like Gruden. After saying he spent 9 years in the booth and the league passed him by. Okay, sure. Incredible. What happened to dysfunctional? Gruden, coach of the year. Let's do it.
Gruden, coach of the year. Timeout with 8 seconds left to let a team that couldn't put itself together a chance to put the worst play it could possibly put out there on the field. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it was reverse psychology. Maybe he knew that given a chance to think about it, Matt Patricia would draw something up as patently awful as a boot to throw to the third tight end.
Make sure Marvin Jones and Galladay weren't involved.
No, my God, get them off the field. You don't want them involved in this. You want Matthew Stafford with a running attack that for the last 5 years has been in the bottom five of the NFL to use play action so he can roll to the wrong side. Not the wrong side for the play, but the wrong side for him. Do you want him rolling left? Do you want your quarterback ever rolling left? No, unless he's Steve Young. You don't want him rolling left. Matt Patricia is somehow out derped John Gruden in this game.
If they go on a run here, and Raiders did finish the regular season at 10-6, could he be coach of the year?
Not while Kyle Shanahan's still breathing.
That's a good point. Little Shanny's making it tough.
Little Shanny's undefeated.
He's been good. Without his tackles, he's still there.
They said neither of his starting tackles. Yep. They just put up 51 on a competent Carolina defense.
All right. Mr. Cynical, Mr. Negative over here, Adam Candy. We'll see how he feels about his Giants tonight. Monday Night Football.
They're
right
going to lose.
Corner.
That's how I feel.
Right around the corner.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
Well, I love having Adam Candy here, especially for the time of the show we talk gaming. I don't know how much you've been tracking a lot of the newbies. Have you been tracking how some of the folks have been doing who've been pushed out there as experts this year?
That is a broad definition if we're going to say experts, huh?
Some of them are having a rough time. The cat who's picking games on FS1 or for FS1, Jason McIntyre. Oof. He was 1-5 in college on Saturday. He's now 25-38 on the season. I think got off to a 211-1 start yesterday in the NFL. This stuff ain't easy. And you know, your strategy sort of changes. Although, you know what, if you're pretty good at this, you don't change, right? You don't freak out. Over the years, I've moved more towards in play. I'm not sure if that's the right move. I've been doing okay this year. Yesterday was, kind of a mixed bag. You and I both jumped on the Patriots in-game, right?
I actually took them pre-flop.
Did you?
I felt good about at least what the defense would be able to do against Lamar Jackson, which turned out to be completely wrong.
I got them +4.5 in the game, and as you were pointing out, you know, they're right there until Edelman coughs it up, scoop and score, and then you can get a backdoor plus 4.5 if Brady's not just chucking the ball up to Earl Thomas.
Well, two things. The Patriots, we talk about, always love to go right before halftime and right out of halftime and score and kill you with that, right? So Belichick kicks from the one and then comes out on the first drive and has Edelman give up the ball right after that, and that was the end of it for the Patriots.
Yeah, I know other games I lost. I had Tennessee with some points in the game against Carolina, plus 9.5, 30-20. I got Kansas City money line in the game. So I got lucky on that one. Had Chicago down big, plus 14. They get it to 22-14. But I tried a bunch of money lines as teams were trailing in the late games. Did not get the Lions. You know, had them right on the doorstep. That didn't happen. The one that really surprised me, because I thought the Chargers were completely setting themselves up for another horrific loss, and then they finally started scoring touchdowns. But they were so dominant early on. I mean, the beginning of the third quarter, the yardage was like 354 to 52, and they're up 9-0. So at that point, I'm like, hey, Rodgers, he's going to get hot here. They're going to make a couple of plays, and they're going to win this game. But they finally scored some touchdowns on a couple of Mel Gordon one-yard runs and pretty much dominated the rest of the way. They were not threatened. That was impressive by the Chargers. And, again, it brings up questions on the Packers. The odds makers have told you, I think, until this game, that they had a lot of doubt about the Packers, but the Packers kept overcoming. I'm not sure what the Packers are. Maybe they just ran into a desperate buzzsaw.
I'm not too worried about the Packers after that game. They have gone through spurts of not being able to protect Rodgers. I think that you're going to now find out, can the Packers scheme away to protect Rodgers when they're not getting the performance out of their line that they need to? It's not a bad line. It's an above-average offensive line for the NFL. But they're going to have to, at some point, they're going to have to commit more to the run than they have, and I hate to say that in 2019 NFL, but you have to at least make it respectable. Now, the odds makers told you, right? Green Bay by 4, got bet down, 3.5 for a while, came back to 4. I'm not sure that Green Bay is one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the NFL, but that Green Bay team with the offense performing the way that it has for Aaron Rodgers, I still think is a top 6 or 7 team pretty easily.
All right, your reaction on this. Seattle's a fraud. They're 7-2. What does it tell you from an odds maker standpoint? They're 6-2 going against a 2-win team with a guy from game to game who may be brilliant or may throw 5 interceptions. And they're laying 4 at home. And they were down. They were getting their ass kicked.
They were laying 6.5 when this thing opened in most places. And then they got bet down. There's a huge sharp play on the Bucks, and the dangers of overtime come and get you on that one. Russell Wilson right now might just be carrying that team by himself. I had my doubts about the Russell Wilson MVP talk at the beginning of the year, but remove him from that team, and what would you be getting right now? Because you got mostly good Jameis Winston, which is why the Bucs have to have that baked into their number every week. Because if Jameis Winston shows up with good Jameis, then that's what you get, because there are playmakers all over that offense. But right now, Russell Wilson is making throws that not a lot of other quarterbacks are making, and he is most of the reason that this team is where it is at the moment.
Back to the Patriots for a second. What do you expect next 5 weeks with the Pats? Ready for the schedule?
Do it.
So they just played one of the better teams they're going to face. By the way, the Ravens also proved themselves against what I just said was a fraud in Seattle. They went in there and kicked their ass. Saints did the same thing. That's my worry about the Seahawks. All right. Bye week for the Patriots, then 4 weeks of at Eagles, home Cowboys, at Texans, home Chiefs. 3-1, 4-0, 2-2, 1-3, 0-4. Probably not 0-4.
I'm going to say not 0-4. I think 3-1 is perfectly reasonable for New England coming out of that stretch.
Really?
We still don't know who the Eagles are. I am in no way ready to say that the Eagles are going to take off. I think Cowboys is an interesting one. We still don't really have a sense of how the Cowboys are going to play. I think tonight's a great look at who the Cowboys are when healthy, because they should blow this Giants team off the field, but the line has not suggested that people believe that. It was Cowboys 9 down to Cowboys 6 at one point, Cowboys 6.5. Now, I really worry about that Texans game, because if Deshaun Watson is going to be able to give you anything of what Lamar Jackson gave you, Now, obviously, they don't run the designed runs for Deshaun Watson the way that that Baltimore does, but if they have that much trouble with a mobile quarterback, then that's a question, and Chiefs are going to have Mahomes. So I think 3-1 is a good result for them coming out of that stretch.
Sorry, I was just laughing. One of our friends was listening, telling me where they're going to be tonight. Once we're all done here at Pizza Rock, and said to bring me a chicken sandwich. I've done it to myself. I bragged about having connections and the hotspot, so now I may have to be delivering chicken sandwiches to the Valley.
The hell with the hotspot. The hotspot's your fridge, where three of them are sitting right now. You just invited all of the criminals in Las Vegas. They said, you just said, break into my home. There is something more valuable than my TV, than my pets. I have chicken sandwiches in that fridge.
Damn. Don't play that for the folks at home. More valuable than the pets. Go crazy. They love those cats.
National Cat Day. I saw you on, National Cat Day, National Pet Day? Posting them up online?
I was posting all the cats in the house and outside. A lot of ferals outside. A lot of feral cats. All right, Dallas, 6.5. Total is 48.5. First, little known, and I don't think it's worth, I don't even know if it's worth like a half a point. Little known deal with Giants-Cowboys games. When the Giants suck, there's a lot of Cowboys fans in that stadium. It's not really a great home field advantage. I would guess 30% Cowboy fans, because you and I growing up in that area, especially our age, there were a lot of scumbags, and yes, you're scumbags. If you don't root for your home area teams and you jump to someone else who's winning at the time, up yours. But there are a ton of Cowboys fans in the New Jersey, New York area. They'll be there tonight. Like I said, I don't know if it's worth more than a half a point.
What it matters to is if the Giants don't get off to a decent start, you're not going to hear the Giants fans anymore because they're going to be home. Yeah. It's freezing in New York right now. Nobody's going to sit out there. Look what happened with the Jets-Patriots game a couple weeks ago. The Jets fans all went home, and you can't blame any of them. My cousin was there celebrating his birthday. Happy birthday to you! You got to watch your Jets get thumped. So, no, it doesn't matter that much. Look, the Cowboys should be able to abuse this Giants secondary the way they did in the first game. The Giants secondary is horrendous. So now that the number's under a touchdown, I wouldn't have any trouble with it. And if you felt like teasing this thing to, Cowboys over, then I think you might have an interesting play there too.
First game, same spread, 7. The total in that game was 44. And Dallas blew them out 35-17. What do you think about the pace of the game? Over, under?
This is an over. If there's one thing I feel confident about tonight, it's that the Cowboys can score, and I do think the Giants have enough of their playmakers to at least put some garbage time touchdowns up, so something like a 31-20 would sound about right to me.
Get on down here, Pizza Rock, some of the best pizza in all of Las Vegas. We're at Green Valley Ranch. The parking is free. Happy hour specials, $4 meatballs, one topping personal pizza is just $5. You got specialty personal pizzas that are 7, and then all the big boys. Great selection here. The New Yorker, that one's dynamite. The Detroit Red Top is great. The Butcher, the Mob Boss. You can get something super spicy if you want as well. We'll be giving out prizes here. Pizza Rock on a Monday night. We'll see what the Cowboys look like tonight as we hang out for Monday Night Football. Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch.